listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 118 of Rogue Startups, first episode of the new year. So, Dave, how you doing?
I am fantastic, and a happy new year to you and everybody who's listening today. Did you have a good New Year's?
I had a good New Year's, yep. I was in bed by 10:30, like an old geezer that I am now, evidently with my gray hair. But yeah, it was a real nice time during the holidays. We had family over, and I took time off work. And yeah, it was very resting and relaxing. And I have a bit of like the holiday hangover today. This is like the first real working day of 2018, and I have to say I didn't really get shit done at all. So just still kind of
2018, not getting shit done.
Yeah, I'm in neutral, just revving the engine, I think.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's better than popping the clutch in first gear and killing it.
There you go. Yep. How about yourself? Good holidays?
We had some nice holidays over here. Christmas with my family, and we went over to some friends' house for the day, and then those same friends came to our house for New Year's. And they've got kids that are similar ages to ours, and they're very nice. And we hung out and had a lovely dinner and lots of wine. And I was in bed by 11:30, was just not interested in staying up the extra 30 minutes as a similar old geezer. But, you know, we had a very nice evening and enjoyable holiday. I didn't take too much time like you did. I'm saving it up for other things that are happening next year, like MicroConf and Shopify Unite and Big Snow Tiny Conf, which are all kind of coming up. And I'm still on the freelancing treadmill, as it were. So hours for dollars still get exchanged, and I got to manage that reasonably in order to make things happen in the family budget, you know.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, talking about kind of coasting into the beginning of the year, I guess, you know, the one thing that we're kind of looking at coming into the beginning of the year is kind of balancing resources, time and money and people hours and things like that, resources with Casto. So we had our big kind of relaunch at the beginning of December. All that was kind of settled out by the second week. One of my developers just went on vacation for the rest of the month. One of the other guys was around, our support guy. Jared was around through the holidays, which was great, allowed me to take some of that time off. But yeah, kind of like let me take a step back a little bit and do some reflection. And I know we're going to talk about that more later. But yeah, I did kind of have this concept of like, I don't know, coasting is not the right word, but kind of reprioritizing our business initiatives. And I think we're just coming into the phase with Castos where we've done a lot of development work. We still have more that we're going to do, and we're building out some really cool kind of add-on services and integrations to the plugin into the platform. But for now, the focus is going much more towards marketing, which is cool because it should be something that I am good at and am excited about relative to development. But it's also relatively free. So it'll be fun to see what the real profitability of Castos is here coming into a time where we're not spending a ton of dollars on development effort. So yeah, I guess stay tuned on that. But that's kind of the big update for me is kind of looking at and reprioritizing a bit our initiatives with Castos. We're definitely still going to be spending time and effort on development, but it's going to be at a much more calm and measured pace, I hope. And I'm sure our developers that listen to the podcast will be very thankful that I won't be humping their leg here going into 2018.
That is the worst image I have had in all of 2018 so far.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so for our side here, you know, the refocusing and reprioritizing of development resources is something we have to do as well. We were very, very focused on trying to get Business Directory plugin towards the end of the year, and at the same time I had my developer working on Recapture as well. So those were sort of happening in parallel, and now that 2018 has really rolled around and Business Directory has stabilized a little bit, we've got to take a step back and say, all right, the Classifieds plugin got to deal with all the deferred updates that we've been looking at pushing out the door there, and we just never did. And that's got to happen like now, because my other developer has already indicated that he wants to move on and do some other stuff. So he had a bunch of things in progress. We need to kind of wrap those all up and get him out the door and get the new guy trained up on all of that. So the timing couldn't be better. I've got, you know, the perfect transition and, you know, the great mix of old and new, but just making it all happen in a short time frame so that, you know, he doesn't have to hang around for 6 months or whatever, because I'm sure that he's ready to go on to bigger and better things at this point after 6 years with me.
Sure, And wow, 6 years is a long time for a freelancer, huh?
That is a very long time for a freelancer. I mean, that's unprecedented loyalty for any – I mean, up until the current freelancing job that I've had, the longest I ever spent in a single client was like 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was mostly just, you know, whatever we were working on, they ran out of budget. They would have kept working on it, you know, if there was a fit for a project for me, but it just didn't sort of pan out. Current one, you know, I'm kind of more like a – hired gun, I guess, on retainer, where they've got a variety of different projects they're trying to apply me to. So my longevity here has been very different, because it's not like a single project in a single language and a single engineering effort you're trying to go out with. But those are not very common contracts at all. So having that, being in one spot for that long, just sort of feels weird to me. So I assume that it feels weird to other freelancers as well. And maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. But, you know, my guys have been with me for a long time at this point, and they're ready for something different. And I totally embrace and appreciate that. And, yeah. I wish them very well, because they've done such great work for me, and they've been really helpful, and they've done all the right things over the years. And you know, the great things are ahead for them. They've acquired a lot of great experience here. They've done some really awesome stuff. So I certainly wish them both luck on that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you have a feel for a new person to come in, or are you going to start that search soon?
We already have a new guy. So his name is Diego, and he is being trained right now to handle the support issues that are coming in. And then once he's sort of got a handle around the support, then we can talk about feature additions and things like that.
Gotcha.
But okay. At the moment, it's all just, you know, trying to keep up with the stream support. And that's actually working pretty well, because once we can get him sort of up to speed on the full support, then my other developer, Willington, can go and dive into all the other stuff on the classified side and catch up with all of that.
Sure, sure. Nice, nice. That sounds like a pretty good plan then.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, recapture. You know, there's just so much I still haven't, you know, decided what specific direction we're going to head with on, you know, the marketing initiatives and what features are going to be the most important. I'm sending out a survey today to all the customers. I was kind of holding off until after the holidays. So that's going out this afternoon or tomorrow morning. I haven't decided yet. And just get some input on the platform and say, hey, what do you think? And is this the stuff that you want us to do, or do you want us to do something else? And then based on that, plus my own marketing input, then it's time to start putting the pedal to the metal, because the Shopify app is just about done. It's going to go out this month, and I'm excited to see that thing go out the door and open up a whole new gateway of customers that could come do the app and then start working on some promotions for that. So, yeah, busy things to come. Busy things to come.
Nice. And the Shopify integration, how do you fit in with other players in the space already?
Well, that's a good question. So we, you know, if I were to sort of characterize it against other Shopify apps, we're kind of like a 3-in-1 app. So there's apps that do email collectors, like opt-in stuff, and then there's apps that do abandoned carts, and then there's apps that do review collections. And those are three primary features of the entire recapture platform. So now as a Shopify app, we do all of those. So if anything, I can use that as a marketing plus and say, hey, look, you don't have to install three apps. You just have to install us, and you get all three of these things at once.
Yeah.
So as a typical email marketing tool, recapture doesn't have like all of the e-commerce functionality that you might want for things like wish lists and browse abandonment as opposed to cart abandonment. or things like not just wish lists, but birthday and anniversary reminders and win back emails. And so there's a lot more depth that I could add in that area right there. And one thing that I've noticed is that there's two major competitors in the Shopify space, and that's Klaviyo and MailChimp. MailChimp is free up to 2,000 subscribers on there, and then after that it gets pretty pricey pretty fast. Klaviyo is expensive out of the gate. The first price or the first level that you pay for right out of it is pretty high. That definitely makes me look better than either of those two solutions, because the recapture platform is actually considerably easier to use and more intuitive, I think, than MailChimp. It's not too far off from Klaviyo, but considerably cheaper. So I think my tagline is going to be easier to use than MailChimp and less expensive than Klaviyo.
Mm, yep.
So that's my plan to market right now, so I can sort of position myself among the competitors, because I think that's one of the primary complaints that everybody has about Klaviyo is just really the price.
Yeah.
So if you can do it and be cheaper, then you know you can definitely win a segment of customers at that. And it's not like I'm getting them at like $9 a month either. You know, I mean, my prices are still totally reasonable for a SaaS. I wasn't planning on lowering my prices to get them. So.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean that kind of language sounds a lot like what Drip has done, what ConvertKit has done with comparing themselves to things like MailChimp. MailChimp's such, it feels like it's getting beat up from every angle these days, but I mean, you're seeing such speciality in email tools, and I think it's fair to say, yeah, for this particular use case, this is easier to use than MailChimp and less expensive than things like Infusionsoft or Klaviyo or Klaviyo.
Yeah, I mean, they're such a behemoth now. Like, you know, we think of MailChimp, or, you know, I mean, I've been around MailChimp for so long at this point that they were like the only game in town for so long, and then everybody else has kind of come up behind them, and they've just sat there and grown and grown and grown and grown. And so, you know, I mean, they're literally the 800-pound gorilla at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've really entrenched themselves into that space, and I see that they're having a hard time retooling everything as fast as other competitors. Like when Drip introduced marketing automation workflows like Infusionsoft, MailChimp came along behind them, but you know, it wasn't quite the same experience. It wasn't quite as easy to use. The interface was not, you know, they tried to stick with a lot of the old style MailChimp interface that they had instead of like doing a whole new workflow. And you know, I mean, even the same was true of ConvertKit. ConvertKit took some of the same concepts from Drip, stole them, and then made those different even than what Drip had. So, you know, your nimble competitors are always going to come in and try to out-feature you. But if they're way more agile and they're way more frequent in their releases, they're going to have a better UX because you've got all of this legacy stuff to hang on to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's tough. That's super tough to deal with.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've seen it already a little bit just with, you know, our couple, you know, we're a very small company with Castos now, but looking at changing how we do some things could be really disruptive to how our customers use us. And you know, podcasting is maybe a little bit like email, where you have to fit into, you know, the box in podcasting, which is iTunes, and an email, which is, you know, email service providers and email, you know, Gmail and spam filters and things like that, where if you change how things are done dramatically, then it breaks the whole kind of purpose for your tool, which is like delivering emails or publishing podcast episodes. So, yeah, I feel for MailChimp. I mean, they certainly are very, very, very successful, but I think changing as drastically as some of these incumbent new players have would be tough for anybody. And I think they've probably done a pretty good job, but yeah, it's just a tough road.
I'm sure Libsyn and Blueberry are facing similar things right now when they have such a widely entrenched set of subscribers and customers that if they were to go and radically revamp their APIs or their user experience or whatever, then all of a sudden they're going to have mass protests on their hands.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, oh my God, you changed this thing that I was using and I loved it. What the hell's wrong with you? You suck.
Yep. Meanwhile, we're gobbling up their customers every day. It's great.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Do it, man. Do
yep,
it.
Yep. So, you know, the thing that we're going to talk about today, Dave, was a great recommendation. It was a tweet by Adrian Rosenbrock from PyImage Search yesterday, talking about kind of a New Year's tradition he has, where he goes, you know, offline, if you will, goes to a pub or a restaurant or a bar or something, coffee shop, and just a notebook and a pen, and asks himself four questions, looking back at the last year and then looking ahead a little bit at this year. I think this will be a fun exercise for us to not necessarily talk through what our answers to all these might be, but just kind of how we think about these questions, that, you know, what were the good and the bad from the last year, and how can we kind of learn the lessons from those and apply them towards making 2018 better, right?
Yeah, yeah. So without further ado, here are what the four questions are. So question number one was, what went well this year and gave me life? And I think that second part is actually super important to emphasize there, because things can go well but still like completely drain you. And that's, you know, that competing force right there is not necessarily something you want to add more of to your life, which gets down to the third question here. So let me go over all the questions first before we start talking about this. But first one, what went well this year and gave me life? Second one, what went poorly and took life from me? Third one, how can I double down on good things? And the last one, how can I get bad things off my plate? And what I like about these four questions here is that, well, this is something you should be evaluating on a regular basis. I don't think this is even like just once a year thing. I mean, it's great that Adrian does it, you know, on January 1st, and I think that's a very important exercise. But if you wait like that 12-year boundary or 12-month boundary, I think that you're not going to get quite enough feedback to make those changes. And I think there was something that Gary Vee recently said where he said New Year's resolutions are bullshit. You should be doing stuff on a daily or weekly boundary to where you can say, I'm going to accomplish this, and you don't make it across the year. You know, we've talked about goal stuff before. If it's not smart, if not a smart goal where it's measurable and actionable and all of that other stuff, you're not going to have a chance to really accomplish that goal. You're going to do very poorly at trying to make that goal. That's why things where people say, yeah, I'm going to get more fit this year, just doesn't work, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that having a mix of really short-term milestones and goals to shoot for and then kind of medium-term vision is kind of how I like to look at it. And I think whether it's a month or a quarter or a year, as long as you have kind of the mix of tangible and tactical things, I'm going to write a blog post this week, or I'm going to start a new marketing initiative this month. That's good. And that's something that you can measure. You should be able to either achieve it or not. But then like the vision of, you know, I want to generally kind of do better with my exercise or spend more time with my family or whatever. I think those are fair kind of like themes to have for the year. But yeah, you know, what I like about this first question from Adrian is it has the balance of both work and personal. And I think, you know, this is a podcast mostly about entrepreneurship and business, but it's all for nothing if you're unhappy or you're unhealthy, or you can't do it for a long time. So I think that's something like the staying power of being an entrepreneur and being sane for, I don't know, shit, Dave, 30 more years, you know? I mean, I'm not that old. Like, I got a lot more years I want to work. And to think that you can just power through with no sleep and tons of stress and too much whiskey and all this kind of stuff is just crazy. And I think if you're not saying, like, both from a business perspective and from a personal, physical, and mental perspective, then you're definitely missing the ball.
Totally agree on that one. And I've told you the story about my my friend that I used to work with when I was at a couple of different startups when I was in my 20s, right? The guy that lost his gallbladder.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is a good story. If you want to, you know, have a good motivation for work-life balance or just having some sanity in your work life, here's a great story for this. So I won't mention his name to preserve his privacy. But anyway, this guy, worked with him for a number of years. He was at the very first company I worked for out of college. We became friends. We ended up working at three or four different companies together. And one of the ones he joined and became the CTO. And he was so into this company. Like, he had completely drunk the Kool-Aid. He had the whole pitcher and was like making another one for the rest of us, you know? I mean, this guy was seriously into the premise of the company. He was living the motto where we were like excellence in everything. And he was so hyped at building the development team and everything. Like, he just literally ate, slept, breathed shit, everything this company. Like, it was all about this company. And on top of all that, you know, he just didn't take good physical care of himself. He ate really poorly. He ate a lot. He didn't exercise. He drank a ton. And, you know, this was happening years before the startup, but then add to the startup where he's working like 90 to 120 hours a week. No joke. Mm. The dude just could not shut it off. Like, that's just how he's wired. And he was creating some amazing software, but at such a high price. And I didn't, you know, it took a while to really see what that price looked like. But at one point, like, his body shut down. He had to, like, his wife had to call 911 and go to the emergency room, and he had to have emergency gallbladder removal surgery. Oof. Because his body had just so imploded between the stress, the lack of sleep, the poor eating, the lack of exercising, the drinking, all of it just bam, hit him. And it hit him like a ton of bricks. And afterwards, you know, he was like, oh, I gotta, you know, totally, you know, get on the health bandwagon. But he approached the health bandwagon the same way he approached the company. Like, he became totally obsessive about it. So he lost all this weight and he bulked up. He got super into weightlifting and working out and running and all this other stuff. But yeah, like, he just replaced one obsession with another. And yeah, it degenerated eventually into some drug use and other things. And this was just, it was just a sign of a life that was so far out of balance. It just caused one self-destruction after another. And, you know, I have several friends of mine that we freelanced together for years after this, and we would all sort of exchange stories about this guy. But it was like, wow, you know, there's no way in hell I'm going to be this guy. Like, yeah, he was a cautionary tale. And so, you know, if you're out in the audience and you're living like that, seeing what that does, it ain't pretty. Don't do it. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think Adrian's first two questions really give you the self-examination tools to say, are there things that are making my life better and that are working well, and things that are not and that are making it worse, so that you can be aware of those and how to change them. Because if you're not doing that, then, you know, you're just going to continue suffering. You're just going to get back on the treadmill and have another year of shit. You know, if you thought last year was shit and you're not sure why it's shit, ask those questions and you can figure that out, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's funny, a lot of us in this kind of space have an addictive personality, I think, which is like what your old work colleague was. You know, it was work, and then it was exercise, and then it's drugs, and all those things are, I think, very common for that type of personality. I think probably a lot of us have tendencies towards that, so being aware of that tendency is probably really important. But, you know, I think the last two questions that Adrian poses here are kind of the so what after you say, like, what was really good and bad, is how can you double down on the good things and eliminate all the bad things? And I think this really gets to that kind of iterative long-term stability for you, both like from a business and financial and profitability perspective, but from a health and happiness perspective. If you're not kind of constantly evaluating, like, in your business, like, where am I the bottleneck? What, you know, what marketing is working and is not working? How can I get rid of all the stuff that's not working and replace it with just the stuff that is working? All the examples of that, I think, are things that we all should evaluate on a regular basis. I know I don't do it on a regular basis, but I should. But yeah, just kind of looking, even if you take this one time, like for Adrian, it's New Year's Day, if it's every quarter or your founder retreat or whatever it is, and kind of say, like, okay, what was the good? What was the bad? What can I get rid of? And what can I only do more of? I think is great. And I am guilty of not doing this enough. I'm looking at taking a founder retreat here in the next month or so.
Nice.
And I'm hoping, I'm hoping to be able to really step back and step away and do some kind of pen and paper stuff like this. because I think generally we've talked about this a little bit, but generally it's just tough to really think when you're in the office all day. And so just a little break like this is hugely helpful, even if it's a couple hours.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to be strategic when you're constantly thinking about tactics, right?
Yeah.
Because that's all I'm doing when I'm in front of my computer is dealing with the tactical stuff for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
Update the developers on this thing over here. Go test this. Go respond to this support issue. Go do this. Go do this. Go do this. And so to get out of that tactical hamster wheel, I guess, you have to put yourself in a retreat. I'm feeling like I do a pretty good job at sort of looking at this quarterly. The last mastermind that I was a part of for a long time, we would have actual scheduled times to go over our yearly goals on a quarterly basis. So that forced me to look at where I was at, because if I said I was going to increase my revenue by, you know, 2x, if I'm halfway through the year and I haven't already bumped it a significant amount, then that 2x starts to look pretty damn insurmountable, right?
Right.
Or if you're like running out of time in the last 3 months out of the year and you're like, okay, I need to publish 20 articles on content marketing. Well, that isn't going to fucking happen, not when you got 12 weeks left, you know? I mean, unless you're going to start shelling out all kinds of cash, you know, you have to sort of reevaluate things. And so I like quarterly, if only because it gives me that nice balance between long enough to get something done, but short enough that I can evaluate progress and then make course corrections based on that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have to set reminders in your calendar to do it. Otherwise, it's not like some magic thing that just pops into your head at the end of March. You're like, oh, hey, it's the quarter. I should do something. Yeah. You got to force yourself to do it. And quarterly reminders are how I made that happen better. But even then, that's not to say, you know, you can't snooze a reminder and forget about it either. So you got to step up and take the work there, right?
Right. For sure. Yeah, it's funny talking about the kind of cycle of review. I think the folks at Basecamp, Jason Fried, have talked a lot about kind of how they work. And I think anybody looking to get some inspiration about the tactics and the nuts and bolts of how a team is structured, they've pioneered a lot of especially the remote kind of development stuff in remote teams. But just generally, I think like they just published an article today that they pay everyone at the salary rate of living in San Francisco, even though no one on their team lives in San Francisco. So just stuff like that like they're pretty pioneering in how they pay people and how they manage their teams and stuff like that. So anybody looking to model how they work or how they build a team, I think you could look a lot worse places than the Basecamp guys for some inspiration. We'll link that latest article up in the show notes for sure.
Well, if I certainly had their cash flow, you know, San Francisco style salaries would not be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, to riff on something that you had mentioned earlier and talking about sort of what things are working and what things are not, you know, you had mentioned coasting, and I think we had thrown this out on Twitter and you were like, well, what about talking about when should you coast in a business? And, you know, when you're setting goals, I think an important thing to know is there a time that I want to be like not pushing down on the development pedal in my business so hard? And what are the consequences of that? And how long can I do that? Or, you know, when you first told me about, hey, let's talk about coasting, I was thinking, holy shit, dude, you're making all kinds of bank so you can just sort of sit back and, you know, have a margarita in your hand and sit on the beach in the other with your kids and play in the sand. But I think there's different kinds of coasting, right? So if you're going to set goals, maybe the question you should ask yourself is there some downtime? How long is that downtime? What does that downtime look like? Is it partial downtime or full downtime, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's also kind of like a little bit of opportunity cost. Like what's the opportunity cost of spending the development dollars now? And what's the return you expect to get? Or is the time and effort and money better spent on something else right now? And I guess that's what I'm talking about with coasting is we were very development heavy for, 6 months. And now we are really close to like, I don't know, feature complete, but really close to like almost complete in terms of what
a podcast host, like the base of a podcast hosting service would be. And so then it's just going to get more customers. And if you look at, we're talking about our competitors, they're not doing a ton of development right now. And so I think that's kind of like a mini cycle that we're experiencing that they've probably been through. Again, talking about like Drip and ConvertKit versus MailChimp. I know they all spend money on development, but I think the pendulum swings between development and marketing in every business. I think we're just kind of in the beginning part of one of those swings. It's kind of the first time I think that we've really said, okay, we're kind of technically there. Now we got to go out and really craft a whole new marketing channel for our non-WordPress users for the hosting platform. And so that just takes a lot of time and thought and effort.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
I didn't mean to take that on too much of a tangent or personal example, but that's kind of what I meant by it. Yeah. But no, it's interesting, Dave. We got some interesting dialogue from people on Twitter about my kind of proposition of, you know, what do you think about coasting? And I would suspect that it's something that people quietly talk about and consider in their business. And it's not something that they talk publicly about as much. And I know we're not like the most public podcast out there, but yeah, I think it's easy to say it's okay to coast in your business. It surely is okay to reprioritize your efforts. I think it's very healthy and probably talks a little bit to what Adrian was talking about, which is like, you know, what went well and what didn't and what can I do more of? And that's a dynamic thing throughout the year, right?
If you're not evaluating that on a very regular basis, I don't know how that's going to work. So yeah, I mean, you definitely have to pay attention.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. And it's a good time of year to evaluate what's going on, what's working and what's not. So Adrian, thanks a ton for kind of the thought and the inspiration there. And we'll link to Adrian on Twitter in the show notes for this episode. So yeah, if anybody has kind of questions or comments or wants to give their kind of two cents about mindset going into the beginning of the year and evaluating themselves and their business throughout the year, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us a message, podcast@roguestartups.com. And we'd love a review in iTunes if you haven't left one already. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.